Dear confirmants of 2013 and their families and friends and baptismal sponsors, members of the body of Jesus Christ, grace and mercy and peace be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus. The class chose the Old Testament reading today upon which to base their theme, and it is from Genesis chapter 11, the story of the Tower of Babel, when God confused the languages, the undoing of which was Pentecost, when God gathered the people and they heard in their own language the gospel of Christ. But here is the beginning in Genesis 11, the story of the Tower of Babel. Now the whole earth had one language and the same words. And as people migrated from the east, they found a plain in the land of Shinar and settled there. And they said to one another, "Come, let us make bricks and burn them thoroughly." And they had the brick for stone and bitumen for mortar. Then they said, "Come, let us build ourselves a city and a tower with its top to the heavens, and let us make a name for ourselves, lest we be dispersed over the face of the whole earth." And the Lord came down to see the city and the tower which the children of man had built. And the Lord said, "Behold, they are one people, and they have one language, and this is only the beginning of what they will do. And nothing that they propose to do will now be impossible for them. Come, let us go down and there and confuse their language, so that they may not understand one another's speech." So the Lord dispersed them from there over the face of all the earth, and they left off building the city. Therefore its name was called Babel, because there the Lord confused the language of the earth. And from there the Lord dispersed them over the face of all the earth. This is the word of God. Please be seated. So I hear there is a Dutch company called Mars One that's taking applications for people to take a one-way trip to Mars about 10 years from now. Talk about reaching for the heavens. So far, some 80,000 applications have been submitted from people in 120 different countries around the world. But in the end, there is only going to be 4 astrocolonists who are going to slip Earth's surly bonds on the first trip to the red planet. Let's see, confirmands about 10 years from now, you'll be mid-20s, right? So that'd be, make you a pretty good age. Would you like to go to Mars on a one-way trip for the rest of your life? I'll bet you've had a teacher or two along the way who would have liked to have sent you to Mars a time or two. But this trip is going to, there's going to be certain requirements on this trip. You're going to have to be intelligent. You're going to have to be, of course, physically and mentally fit and strong. But perhaps more than anything else, you have got to be able to get along with other people. Because you're going to be with these 3 other people for the rest of your life and no one else. You do not want those relationships to become difficult and prickly. I found a cartoon by Rick Knobloch. On the bottom there it says, if you can't read it, "Mars trip day 4. Bob and Carol come to the realization what a terrible idea this was." Day 4. What is it about us that we want to reach for the heavens? As far as I know, our cats and dogs and our iguanas or whatever, you know, they're not searching out there beyond for something more than this life that they have here, something higher and better and bigger. They are content, I think, just to be what they are and to be where they are. But for some reason, not us. We have this sense in us that we are meant for something more than this troubled existence that we live here. That there's got to be something better. And where else are we going to look but to the heavens? Because this old earth sure doesn't seem to have the answers. Here it just seems to get worse and worse. Ever since our first parents plunged the human family into sin and the Lord banished us from His presence in paradise by posting those cherubim to guard the way to the tree of life, the human family has been on this relentless, never-ending, ceaseless quest
for heaven. To try to gain back some of what we lost. Whether we know it or not, that's what we're trying to do. To try to fill up that empty space inside of us, which, whether we know it or not, only God, our Maker, can fill. The construction of the Tower of Babel is a prime example of that quest, of reaching for heaven, of an attempt to reconnect earth to heaven and to gain back what was lost in Eden. It's also a prime example of how not to do it. But at this time, the world was still reeling from the great flood. And it was not an easy life for these folks out there on the plains of Shinar. It was tough living. It was a hard-knock life, far removed from the glory that God had intended for humanity in paradise. And it was with an instinctive sense of having lost that glory that the people on the plains of Shinar said to each other, "Let's build us a city with a tower that reaches to the heavens and so make a name for ourselves." And you can see how sin has twisted up their thinking. Yes, they are correct that by God's design, we are intended for something better than what we're living right now, something more glorious, something more perfect than having to scrape by here, down here on the plains of Shinar. God did design us for a glorious life in a perfect creation, in a walking in the garden with Him kind of closeness. So we can hardly fault these people for that instinct in them that wants to have that back, to recapture that. The tragedy of their story is that their minds have been so captivated and twisted by sin that the only way they can think to achieve their glory is to do it for themselves, with their own hands, their own ingenuity, their own elbow grease, their own resources, their own technologies, like baked brick. And so they reach for heaven by the construction of this massive tower. Surely in this way they will achieve glory for themselves and a better life for which they somehow know they are intended. Well, God, of course, foiled their plans by confounding their language. But their descendants have never given up the pursuit, never stopped trying to achieve this same goal, to reach heaven for that glory that we somehow instinctively know we've lost. And if you really think about it, just about everything we do as fallen sinners is really an attempt to, well, to recapture some of what we lost, to make our lives better, to get a little bit closer to that Eden that God had planned for us in the beginning, to build our glory towers in an attempt to get back to where we once were. So in the earthly realm, we establish our governments, we build our cities, we improve our technologies, we lengthen our lifespans, we hybridize our crops, we air condition our homes. We've been doing some landscaping in the back of our house. I wonder if that's not something inside of us that wants something of the beauty of Eden back when we landscape our yards and eat, you know, brick by brick by brick we build and we try to improve and we try to get a little closer to that paradise that we lost. In the intellectual realm, we philosophize, we theorize, we hypothesize, we postulate, we test, we analyze. In the social realm, we mingle, we party, we entertain, we hang out, we bond, we make websites where we can meet new people and relate to others. And all for what? Ultimately, aren't these the bricks with which this world is trying to build its towers of Babel? Brick by brick, course upon course, trying to recapture something of that glory, something of that better life that we instinctively know was intended for us, but somehow we lost. And then even in the spirit realm, we are infected by this tower-building mindset. I've got to reach for heaven by doing my good works, by giving alms to the poor, by saying the right prayers, by performing the right religious rituals, by holding it all together with the mortar of a deep religious sincerity. That's the way that we reach for heaven. But it's all in vain, the scriptures tell us. Just as vain as any attempt to reach heaven with a tower of mortar and brick. With might of ours cannot be done. Soon were our loss effected. Every attempt of ours to reach heaven will fail, without fail. But what does not fail is God's work. The patriarch Jacob had a dream about that once. He dreamed that he saw a ladder extending down from heaven to rest upon the earth. And it turns out that God is the one who reaches down to us to bridge that gap, to heal that chasm of our separation. It's exactly what Isaiah prayed about centuries later when he was realizing the futility of all of our attempts to build our glory towers and to reach the heavens. Isaiah prayed, "Oh, that the Lord would rend the heavens and come down." And come down he did, in swaddling clothes, in a manger. And our Lord would later say of himself, "He descended from heaven." And then he identified himself as the ladder in Jacob's dream that reconnects heaven to earth when he said, "You will see the angels of God ascending and descending on the Son of Man." In lowliness and meekness, God reached down to us in the person of his only Son, and he gave him for us all. He lifted him up on the cross above the world, given into death for the forgiveness of our sins that caused that separation. And he became the way, the only way to the Father. And so Paul declares, all this is from God. It's not from us. It's not our doing. It's from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ. All those vain attempts to build our glory towers, to reach heaven, and to fill that void inside of us, after all those bricks that we've laid, all those technologies, all those religious rules and rituals, and all the intellectual pursuits, come to find out, God had already reached down to us. And down came the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, raising us up on the wings of his mercy, not by inviting us to try harder or to build higher, but by bearing witness to Christ through the preaching of the apostles, calling all to repent and to believe the gospel. As Peter declared, "Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." So, confirmants, what's up with this theme of yours? If our attempts to reach heaven are doomed to fail like the Tower of Babel, why did we pick this theme? Why did we make this banner before us today? But there is a proper way in which we can talk about reaching for heaven. And Paul captures that thought in his letter to the Philippians when he says, "Not that I already have arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Now make no mistake, Christ first took hold of us. He took hold of you, confirmands, at that baptismal font. I think all of you were at this baptismal font. He took hold of you there. Make no mistake, Christ purchased the prize for you by his holy, precious blood and his innocent suffering and death. Make no mistake, Christ bridged that chasm. Christ called us heavenward by the washing of our baptism, by the Word of God, the miracle of the Holy Spirit in us. And yet Paul rightly says, "I press on to take hold of the prize." The Christian life is really just a daily pressing on. It's a daily striving to work out your salvation, as Paul says. To work out what it means, day by day, to be called heavenward, to live under the cross. And in that sense, we reach for heaven. Confirmands, when you show your love for your neighbor, as love is defined by the Ten Commandments, you are reaching for heaven. When you offer yourself and your resources and your time in service to Christ and His kingdom, you're reaching for heaven. When you take the time to worship and to pray, to offer your offerings and your praises, to read the Word, to have a devotion at home, you're reaching for heaven. When the world despises you because of your faith and mocks you, and yet you remain faithful to Him, you are reaching for heaven. Reaching for heaven is simply living out the implications of His having reached for you. Dear confirmants, you've captured it very beautifully in your banner, with the reminder that the only way to heaven is through Christ, upon that bridge of His cross. You've captured that in your banner. Will you capture it in your living? Redeemed by the blood of Christ and called by His Holy Spirit, keep reaching, confirmants. Keep reaching, keep striving, keep pressing on in faith until that day when you die and then you rise again with all the redeemed and finally fully have regained all that God intended for you from the very beginning. And together, forever, we will celebrate His amazing grace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.